My name is Luke Broder. I am the lead pastor designate, executive pastor, other Luke, if you want to call me the other Luke, that's fine. But we're just happy that you're here, especially if you're a guest here with us. My wife Hillary and I were just noticing, we know that there are several of you out there, and so welcome. Welcome to you. We're glad that you're here, the whole church. We're all very glad that you're here. I know August tends to be one of those like church shopping times. I don't know if there's like things on sale or what it is that it's about August, but it tends to be that type of time. And we want to make sure you know that we are glad you're here. We're an interesting size of church. We're small enough that we do notice that you're here and we're glad that you're here, but we're big enough that we're not going to like chase you down and try to like pull you back in before you leave kind of a thing. We're just happy that you're here. If you want to meet someone, find someone on staff, myself, any of the staff members, you're going to meet a few of them here today. We would love to get to know your story. And we are starting a new series here in the month of August that I'm really excited about. We're calling it Here and Now, Our Kingdom Calling. And we're hoping there's a few things that are going to happen over these next few weeks as we talk through this series. First and foremost is we are going to go back into really focusing on the vision that we presented earlier on this year that we believe God has placed into the bones of this church, to go into the community around us and share the love of Jesus. We're going to talk about that today. So we're going to build some momentum around that. We're going to build some, hopefully, some passion and inspiration from you all around that vision. And secondly, is we're going to do everything we can to create easy on-ramps for every single one of you to get involved in God's kingdom work through this church. Every single one of you, okay? We're going to create as many pathways as possible, and all the while, we're going to be praying that you are spending time discerning what it is that God has for you in this new year of ministry here at Westgate and especially out in the world around you, okay? So if you spend time joining us over the next few weeks, you're really going to get a good sense, I believe, for our heart as a church, for the ways that we feel God is calling us to be used in the world around us. And today is going to be a really fun one because you're not just going to hear from me, you're actually going to hear from several of our staff members and see the ways that this vision is infusing itself into the life of the ministries here. But first, by way of setup, I wanted to talk about a few things. First, I want to talk about this book right here. It's from Timothy Keller. It's called Center Church. It's a really, really interesting, almost like manual for how the church ought to be operating in the world around us. And one of the first things that Timothy Keller talks about in this book is this distinction in the church between doctrine and practice. He talks about this distinction between doctrine, which is what you believe. Our church, our doctrine is largely rooted in the Evangelical Free Church. There's 10 statements of faith that we adhere to. That's a big part of our doctrine. You can read in this vision statement about some of the things that we call ourselves a Spirit-led church, that we want the Holy Spirit to guide every single thing that we do, that we are a biblically grounded church, that we don't want to stray from the truth of God's word. We want to live out the truth of God's word, and that we are a prayer-centered church, that we call this a house of prayer, a community of prayer, where we are praying for one another and we are praying for discernment from the Lord. That is our doctrine, you might say, as a church, what we believe, our core, our foundation. And then you've got some of our practices. Timothy Keller talks about is different. You might call those our different ministries that are happening here. We've got a kids ministry that's thriving. We've got a youth ministry. We've got these Sunday services. That's one of the things that we do together. We've got these young adult programs and all these different groups, groups like Koinonia that's going to be meeting up here again for those that want to meet up and do some Sunday school gathering and community building before service. Navigators that does the same for our adults. We've got small groups that are meeting all over the church. We've got a counseling ministry. You learned a little bit more about that. If you weren't here last week, please go back and watch, especially that first few minutes of the message where Pastor Kevin celebrated the work of the counseling ministry here at Westgate. It was a beautiful and powerful testimony, and would encourage all of you to check that out. We've got an international ministry. We've got ministry missionary partners all over the world. Those are the things we do, okay? Now, Keller makes an interesting point in here that I had never really processed before. that every organization, every church has doctrine that builds its foundation. And every church has some form of practice, what they do. You might think of the doctrine as the hardware, okay? We're gonna get a little techie, a little geeky on you, okay? You might think of the doctrine as what it is. It's like my phone is the hardware, okay? I believe this is an iPhone 14, maybe something along those lines, okay? It's the hardware that allows the technology to work, okay? And you might think of the practices, the ministries that we do as the different applications on there, the software that's in there, like the, I've got my little budgeting app, I've got my music app, I've got my ESPN app, you can hear all of them. I could go through the New York Times Games app, I've got the State Farm app. That was not a plug for any particular insurance company. Okay, software. But then Timothy Keller describes this thing called middleware, okay? Middleware. Now, I'm going to ask and see if there's anyone in the IT world out here who would be willing to come up here and describe to the church what middleware is. Do you know? Okay, come on up. Come on up. Give it up for Matt, everyone. Okay, this is good. Is it on? It's on. Okay. Now, Matt, describe it to us like we're 10 years old,
no,
okay?
I gotcha. So each piece of hardware has specific keys that the hardware engineers program into their hardware. And an additional way for the hardware makers to make money is to license the keys to the software companies. So in order to make software to actually run on the hardware, you need the keys. So the middleware is the software that describes the set of keys.
Okay, describe it to us like we're 5 years old.
It's the key, right? A door lock has keys. There's different codes in the key to unlock the door.
Okay, I get that. All right, connection. Okay, keys. That's good. Well done. It's what connects one thing to the other, okay? This is good. That's how I got it. You did a great job. It's the key that connects. We believe here that one of the things God has told us is that one of the middlewares between what we are, what we believe, our doctrine as a church, and what God is calling us to do is this idea of community, okay? Now, you've heard that word a lot around here. If you go into this vision statement, if you haven't read the whole thing, you can grab a book that read the whole thing. I'm just going to read this page 10 to you, okay? We are convinced that the community so many of us have found at Westgate. Matt, I literally did not prep him for this. The community that many of us have found at Westgate is the key to unlocking the Twin Cities. It is the time that we take what has meant so much to those of us within this church family and share it with the world around us. Jesus said, "You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket. Instead, it's placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house." We are renewing our vision to blaze a trail into the uncharted territory of shining the light of Jesus in every area that he has called us to love and serve. And so our vision statement that will lead us forward is this. Empowered by the Spirit, Westgate is called to be a gateway of hope, building authentic community in the church and sharing that community throughout the Twin Cities. We are Spirit-led, biblically grounded, prayer-centered. We are those things. That is our doctrine. And we do lots of amazing ministries and things that happen out in the world. But there is an individual story that God is writing in each one of our lives, an individual calling that he is placing on each of our hearts. And we're going to help you see the ways that our role in building community and sharing community can take what we believe and bring it to the world around us, okay? So, over the next few weeks, we're going to go through some of the primary outlets that we talk about in that vision statement: combating loneliness, uniting divided groups of people, and transforming neighborhoods. And Christ-centered community is going to be, I put the word bridge as connection, the middleware or the key that will connect the foundation of who we are with the daily applications of what we live out as a church. And we say we, when we say we at Westgate, we do not mean those of us that sit in a room in Kevin's office and make plans. We do not mean the leadership board that meets a couple times a month and prays over these things. We don't mean the staff that meets every Tuesday morning and does their planning and programming and everything. We mean those people, but we don't just mean those people. You're not sitting out in a church looking at what that church up there thinks, okay? You are invited to be a part of this we. And we're going to do everything we can to create those opportunities. Okay, so here's what we're going to do today. I'm going to invite up a few of our staff members, all right, to come on forward. You guys can come on up. And we're going to give you just a taste, a glimpse of the type of ministry that God is doing here at Westgate. Okay, we're going to do this in like a panel format. All right, you guys have all seen panels. You can think of this as a, I don't know, like a... Look at that. What a good-looking group of folks up here, right? This is good. This is good. Okay, so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask a few questions of you guys. And the first time you answer a question, could you please introduce yourself? Can we do it that way? Okay, for the sake of time. And you're going to get a chance to hear from these people, these amazing staff members, as a representative of our representation of our staff more broadly, about the ways that this vision is being played out in the day-to-day ministries of the church. Okay? And by doing that, we're hoping that you start to see some of the on-ramps that you guys can get involved in. Okay? Does that make sense? This is the plan for the day, and this is all to set up this series that we're going to be going through. Okay, so first off, I'm flipping pages here. Okay, Luke, VM, tell us who you are, and you've been a part of the staff for several years now. You were on staff before I was. That's why I think I should be the other Luke, and you can just be Luke, okay? You've been on the staff for several years now. Can you share a little bit about our staff strategic planning process and how you find it helpful in leading your own ministry area here?
Absolutely. So I'm Luke Viem, and I am both in charge of our groups ministry here, so small groups, large groups, classes, that type of thing, as well as hospitality, which is a new role that I'm filling into. So greeters, the coffee corner, that type of realm, I'm also providing leadership for now. Our strategic plan process, it starts shortly after Christmas and New Year, after we are able to like relax a little bit. And we get this email and it says, it's time to start strategic planning for the next year. And we're like, okay. And we have this form that we fill out, kind of reviewing what were some highlights. Like, it's great to like look at what are celebrations from this previous year. And then what do we want to build on going forward? And it's this process of both praying and searching and discerning what God is speaking to us, but also hearing from key volunteer leaders on how God is working in them and what they're seeing as well. And it's this process of what might we add to our ministry as an initiative, but also what might be time to end and to, like, in order to go forward, sometimes you have to let things go. So it's this both process of addition and subtraction. And after we go through that time of prayer, discerning, writing, thinking, collaborating, then what's the most fun is we come together as a staff offsite, and we get to present what we're hearing, what we're seeing, and what we're planning. And for me, that's like the most encouraging time, because it's just clear and obvious that God is speaking to all of us the same thing. And clearly this last year was around welcoming, around hospitality, around like not controlling what God is doing here, but like coming alongside him and taking the momentum he is clearly moving here and coming alongside and carrying it forward.
Nicely said. Well done. Okay, Andrea, we don't have to clap every time they say something nice, okay? They're articulate people. We all think you're amazing, but we don't have time for that, okay? This is good.
Okay. I would take applause. I would take applause.
Andrea, you have been involved in pretty much every step of this process, given the nature of your role, given just sort of the way that God has gifted you to be a leader here at this church. You've been very much involved in the development of this Vision 2025. Can you tell us a little bit about how you've seen it influence our strategic planning process this year for both the staff as a whole and for the particular teams that you lead?
Yes, I'm Andrea Haybison, the pastor of worship and prayer, and so a lot of my job is just leading the teams. You don't see me up here leading worship, but working with the teams that lead up here, and then making sure that our church is covered in prayer and continuing to grow our culture of prayer. And Vision 2025 was really birthed through prayer. And when I say prayer, I also mean listening. We, the leadership board, met and prayed and listened, and the staff. And as a congregation, we took time over the past year to gather and pray and really listen to God, because we want to be empowered by the Spirit. And what the Holy Spirit was doing as we were praying and listening is he was uniting our hearts, because it's not only what he's doing in us, but what he's going to do in this community, in this very God-sized vision. And in 2 Kings 4, which was one of the pivotal scriptures that God used, is even during a famine, God not only brings first fruits, but he also brings the harvest. So one of the questions in Vision 2025 was, what is the key to unlocking the gates if we consider ourselves Westgate? And it says, we need to evaluate the link between the needs of the people across the Twin Cities and the resources we have within our church family. God is most capable of shaping the world through his people when his people understand who he has shaped them to be. We must understand our unique identity. And so as we began the strategic planning process, a lot of us on staff had to figure out our unique identities. And we're helping our teams find out what their identities are. Because when you know your identity, your God-given identity, you're able to lead with more clarity. And a lot of us use Jamie Winship's book, Living Fearless, because in there he outlines a really clear mm-hmm. and direct mm-hmm. way to hear from God about that. Mm-hmm. And then after we looked at our identities, we started praying about, okay, now what are our action steps to bring hope? And what strategies does God want us to use in each of our ministries? So some of our foundational questions were, who is our target audience that drives most of our ministry? Who do we directly impact? And what scriptures fuel our next steps? And I know for both teams that I lead, the scriptures really did fuel our strategic plans, because God's word brings clarity to vision. And it's important that we each know our ministry identity and where we see God wanting to impact our community. Sorry, I got to go my next page.
Buffering. It's all good.
Some of you might remember last October, David MacIver was here, and he really spoke into our vision as well. Mm-hmm. And he just commented that Westgate is just not the name of the church, but is really a prophetic calling. And he used Psalm 24:9, which we read together, which is, lift up your heads, O gates, and lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. And that's really our heart, that we worship the King of glory. And as we do that, that he unites our hearts and then fuels what we do.
Mm-hmm. Well said. Okay. So now we're going to break it down into a few specific themes that we saw as we gathered, like Luke said, to hear strategic plans from different ministries. There was some really obvious themes, ways that God was pointing. So one of those was in the area of like welcome and hospitality. We just talked about some new guests that are coming through the church, and a number of different ministries placed an extreme emphasis on how we do welcome and hospitality well as a church. So the question is, why did that become a priority for you as you prayed over Vision 2025? We'll have Luke go again first, and then both Aaron and Jake can jump in here.
Well, easy answer with welcome and hospitality, that is the strategic plan of our hospitality ministry. And for me, it's the idea like having gifts of hospitality that I feel like the Lord has given me, and just bringing that to our church. A dream that I have, a vision that I'd love to bring into reality, is that we would have a greeter at every door. In the same way that my little two-year-old runs out to greet people for dinner parties, I want our church to feel like that, where everyone isn't just like, the door is held open, hey, come on in. Like, I want them to feel the excitement that they are joining us, that beyond just like, this is a place where you can be, like, this is a place where you're wanted. This is a place where you're loved, and this is the place where you can find community, because the presence of God is here, and the Lord is the host. And so if we can be filled with the Spirit, I think that hospitality will just seep right out of us. And it has been. And my hope is that with some oversight, we can just let it flow even more smoothly.
Mm-hmm. Well said.
Transitioning smoothly into that. Pause. I do this with my kids. So I'm Miss Erin.
Perfect.
I'm the pre-K coordinator. So introductions first. But yeah, so I am here representing kids ministry, and we are talking about welcoming. Because it's easy to drive by the church. It's easy to stay on the outside, but we want people to come in, to know that they are invited, and to have them stay. Luke, you brought up that you want door greeters at each door. Well, guess what? We want a door greeter down in the kids ministry area, too. That was actually on our strategic plan as well. We have a hospitality team to help families check in, but we want that invitation to start at the door, to help families know where they should go, to draw them in and just start the excitement straight from the get-go. We are looking forward to potentially new parents volunteering who are not involved yet, but we could also have families serve together in this role. That'd be super fun. If you're not aware that there is a gym time for families after church, we are utilizing our great facility with the gym to connect people, but we could also have a gym time host who would be able to invite people who might not feel welcome, mm-hmm. like it's their place to be, but mm-hmm. to invite them in with intention and to connect people when they are in the gym. We also wanted to have a focus on the facility. We want to refresh our family lobby. That is the big open space downstairs that most families enter into first. Well, we want that to be a really good first impression. So we're going to put some focus on refreshing that.
Mm-hmm. Hi, everybody. My name is Jake Tosted, and I'm the Next Gen pastor here at Westgate. And today I'm going to speak on behalf of our youth ministry. That's one of the ministries that I help with and supervise. And it's been an honor to be a part of the youth ministry over the last, you know, year and a half. So when it comes to hospitality and things like that, that's something that they really added. We added to the gamut a little bit this past year. We added an entire lobby experience so that when students roll up and get dropped off or their parents come in or whatever, like there are signs that lead them to where to enter into the doors on Wednesday nights, as well as we recruited a whole team of just volunteers for just to be there, just to see somebody when they walk in the door, because studies have shown, don't quote me, okay, but you know, there was one that we read, and it was good enough. It was good enough, you know. We'll say a few. Thank you. All right. We'll say a few seconds. But one study showed that it only takes 1/10 of a second for somebody to form a first-time impression about the place that they enter into the first time or the person that they're talking to. And so when it came to students, we thought students are asking big questions, consciously, subconsciously, when they enter a new environment. Those questions are, am I loved? Am I welcome here? And am I worthwhile? And we recruited a team of people to be right at the doors and see them, not just to carry out tasks and things like that, but just to see students when they come in the door and welcome them and let them know that we want them there. No matter what they look like, no matter where they come from, they are welcome when they come to our church. And so we're working on that. We've kind of made that space really friendly, brought in tables and plants, and there's a whole setup teardown thing that we do on Wednesday nights because we just want that to land so well with our students, because the landscape is crazy out there and we want this to be a safe place for students to thrive. And the ways that we're going to expand upon that is we're going to keep recruiting people for this team. We want to create a more robust leadership structure, and then we also want to just give development opportunities for those volunteers to continue to grow in their leadership and their relationship with Jesus. So
awesome. So we're giving you a picture of the types of things that we feel God is placing on our heart. And, you know, a smile at the door, knowing someone's name, greeting them well. This is a really, really pivotal component of what it looks like to be the church for people who maybe don't quite know what they're getting themselves into when they walk into a church or into a youth group, something like that. But that's not all it is. It's not just a smile at the door and a handshake. And so kids and youth team specifically, Jake, you can hang on to the mic. You've put a lot of work into thinking through how are we actually building out the community in the ministry? How is it easy for students and kids to invite their friends, not just because it's fun and there's pizza, but because it's something meaningful that they're going to experience, something that they're really longing and looking for? Tell us a little bit more about that.
All right, I'm going to look at my notes for that one. That's a big question. But we believe that invitation is powerful. I mean, who doesn't love to be invited to something? I mean, some of the biggest impacts on my life is when somebody invited me to something because they saw me. They saw where I was in my life. They saw if I was hurting, if I was happy, if I was sad, whatever it was, and they stepped in and they did that. And we want to teach our students how to do that with others. So one way that we stepped into that a little bit this past year, just to kind of get a little bit more of an understanding of what would this look like at Westgate, is we put on this epic Christmas party at the end of the year last year. We called it Christmas Craze, and it was exactly how it sounds. It was crazy. I mean, just picture all downstairs, the entire lobby, just picture like a team of grandmas and their 30 to 50-year-old like collection of Christmas decor just thrown up everywhere. And everybody with their ugly sweaters, and there's competitions, and there's games, and there's food, and just our community just rallied around the youth ministry for this event. But we didn't do it, like Luke said, just for having a fun party. We challenged our students to invite friends because the intention was we put out a pretty clear gospel message with a response moment, and they responded. Some of the coolest things was seeing our students not only bring people to church, because that's a risk. Like socially for our students, that's a risk to do, and they did it. And it was so cool because some of those students who came for the very first time made first-time decisions to follow Jesus. And that's what it's about. Mm-hmm. It's not about us adults doing everything and trying to dictate everything. It was the students inviting students, making impact. And God was just using that in powerful ways. So we want to continue to step into that. We want to invite students to join the mission of the church, which is to call people into the presence of God. And so ways that we're going to do that is we're going to keep inspiring students to take spiritual risks this next year. But we're also going to ask our small group leaders, and they're probably here today, and they might be hearing about it for the first time, so welcome, is we want to help develop that small group culture of invitation, of being known, being seen. And so what we're going to ask you to do is you and your students to plan some events off-site outside of Wednesday nights and have them kind of craft it. Bring them into it a little bit. Use their creativity. And then with that, challenge them to bring some of their friends. Maybe friends who are far from God. Maybe friends who need a little support. But just friends that they feel like God has put on their heart, and to just pray about it and see what happens. So again, we're gonna empower the next generation, and we're going to see what happens. It's going to be great.
Love it. Love it.
Passing it on down. We're also passing down the ages, because here we are to elementary, down to the nursery. So I already mentioned that the gym holds a lot of potential for, yes, our families to burn off some of their energy, but to also connect and to build community with that host, kind of facilitating our gym time, creating connections. We're also throwing around the idea of having an emphasis on specific weeks to try to connect families that have similar ages and stages of their kids, to encourage people to show up who may not have otherwise shown up. And if you have been down to the gym, perhaps you've seen the gym kitchen, and it's like half-finished stage. We want to push that ball forward and get the gym kitchen finished to have a really good gathering space available for the whole church, not just kids ministry. As kids ministry, we do love getting together with our families, with the parents, with the kids, And we are going to sprinkle in some all-family events this year on Wednesdays. We've done this before. Different this year is we want to have a similar backbone, a predictable structure, you may say, of fun and food and focus on Jesus so that families feel a little bit more comfortable inviting neighbors or friends because you could share, okay, here's what's going to happen. We've done it before. It looks a little different this time, but it's great. So we want to empower our families to be those inviters. We want to also have opportunities to serve together, to have fun together with family meetups, and to give some time and space for our nursery parents to connect. Just lots of opportunity. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what we're hoping you're getting here is a sense that we're not just like trying to do some lip service to saying, oh, community, that sounds nice. What we're trying to do as the leadership within the church is to really help every person be seen and known. Because that's the deep longing, the deep craving in every single one of our hearts and every single one of our lives. And the reality is that there's a really short distance, we hope, between when you experience real community here and when you start sharing that community with other people. And so the reason we're presenting these ideas to you is for you to see, we believe God is dreaming and scheming through us. We believe there are strategies that we can enact, but we can't greet every person that walks through the door, right? We can't invite every student out there that wants to come, that could benefit from an event. We don't know every family in every neighborhood, but you all do have those connections. You all do have the availability. You all do have the time. And so, and this is just a sampling, right? If you wanted to hear the whole staff share all of their ideas, you would spend all day offsite with us like we do together, right? There is so much that we believe God is leading us towards. Okay, now, one thing we were going to take some time to talk about was the fact that we don't just expect you to just like raise your hand, sign up, and then we're going to throw you in front of a door and, you know, figure out a way to make someone's day. Like, we are here to also empower the volunteer teams that exist here to really be successful and to thrive together. And every single one of these ministries that's up here has some specific ways that they want to help you. If you raise your hand and say, I'm ready to serve in that way, I'm ready to serve kids, I'm ready to serve youth, I'm ready to greet on Sundays or any other area, we're ready to help you do that in a really successful way. We want to work with you in that way. Now, we don't have time to cover those details. Just know that we're here to set you up for success. I did want to ask one final question, though, which is to Andrea, which in leading our prayer ministry and our worship team, both of those areas have a lot of connection and involvement in this idea of uniting divided groups of people. I wanted to touch on that a little bit because, you know, someone walking into a church like ours may make some assumptions about whether they are welcome here or not just by what they see. And we want to do some work to make sure that we truly are a connector of people. And so you and Pastor Kevin are going to actually be doing a full message on this in a couple weeks on the 17th. But could you just give us a little taste of what that looks like for us to unite divided groups of people?
Yeah, you know, even though the world feels more and more divided every day, God has already been intentionally connecting us with other people we didn't know we needed. When I was thinking about this yesterday, I was driving through some neighborhoods, and I was just looking at just even the diversity of plants, you know, like different trees, different bushes, different flowers, and God, you know, He's our creator, and he even calls himself the gardener. But when he poured his spirit out in Pentecost, in Acts 2, Peter describes it as the fulfillment of Joel 2, where God says he will pour out his spirit on everyone. Because everyone present that day heard the message in their own language. God did not distinguish, because scripture says everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And we are called to love our brothers and sisters in Christ, even though we are very different. I'm going to mention three different ministry opportunities coming up, and you are invited. You are invited to join us. One of the ministries that we do regularly twice a year is drive-through prayer, and it's surprising how God connects us. with people of different faiths, different denominations, people who are unchurched, people who've never prayed before, but there's something about need that are needs that draw us together in Christ. And so we do come together and pray for anyone who comes through, and there's something, there's a compassion that rises up within us when someone comes with a need, and that's one way we can reach out to help unite divided groups. Another way God started 5 years ago, a journey for us to get to know our Black brothers and sisters in Christ, and they have since become good friends, and friends who have allowed us to serve alongside them in North Minneapolis. And we've talked about this before, but we actually serve on a corner in a neighborhood that was considered one of the four most dangerous hotspots in Minneapolis. And today, we were just out there yesterday. It's now a place of peace. It's a gathering spot for the neighborhood of love and of hope. And probably 50 or so different people from our church have already served out there, but we'd love to have you join us. We go 2 Saturdays a month. We also pray together on Mondays at noon. If you ever want to join us, there's something about prayer again, where we're praying with people from different churches, probably 5, 6, 7 different churches now represented. And yeah, we don't all believe exactly the same thing. We are very different in our approaches to ministry. But again, prayer unites our hearts because we are all one in Christ. And then this fall, we're going to be partnering with St. Bart's Catholic Church. And they host a tent at James J. Hill Days the first weekend of September. And we're going to join them. So here we are, the Catholics and the Evangelical Free Church, but we're gonna be together at this prayer tent and pray for our community. And we also may host some healing services together. But God's been uniting our hearts in a unique way. Mm-hmm.
So it's exciting stuff. We're trying to get a lot of information at you all at the same time, all at once here. And of the messages in this Here and Now series, I would say this is the one that leans most heavily on what's happening here within the walls of Westgate, because it is a two-pronged approach, right? We want this to be a place where all of our values are lived out, right? That we're not just showing up to experience worship or consume a service or anything like that, but that we're living out representing our values so that anyone comes through our doors knows what we're all about. The future messages these next few weeks are going to be much more regarding what are the on-ramps and ways you can get moving out into the community around you and sharing the love of Jesus with them, okay? So in the spirit of helping to set ourselves up as a church for a great year of ministry, I do have a few action steps for you, okay? Are you ready? Okay, you with me? Okay, we're getting to the end here. The first action step is I would love to challenge every single one of you in the next week to go onto our church website and visit our serve page. You're going to see a scrolling view on how to do that. Right on the website, you'll go to a page that looks like just like this, and you'll see all of the different volunteer roles that we have set up as a staff, the things that we need in order to make ministry happen here at Westgate. And every single one of those has an action step involved. It might be sending an email or filling out a form, but it's a chance for you to get connected. And these are things from, the greeting we've talked about, the hospitality, the participating in 36th and Lindale, to we've got a fall kickoff event coming up where we're going to be having food trucks and lots of energy and excitement that we would love people to be inviting people to in September. And we need volunteers to help make that happen. So this is your next action step. We need 44 people to jump on board with making September 7th happen. Now, the reason that we're highlighting this is not because this is the most important, special, amazing need, but because sometimes the first step of serving is what you really need in order to get fully plugged into the church, okay? And so if you're someone who isn't quite sure what it would look like to volunteer at church or serve a church, maybe you've never done that here before, this is a fantastic opportunity to do that, okay? We're gonna, I would even go as far, I shouldn't say this. I'm going to say it. I would even go as far to say, if you're a really deeply plugged in volunteer who helps with a lot of things around here, please wait before filling those slots, okay? That was debatable whether I should have said that or not. Give space. Give space for people who haven't served a lot to jump in and do this. You go on that serve page and you're going to click in there and see a form. You just have to type your name into a spot. Okay, here's another action step. Maybe you're not someone who wants to put themselves out there to greet. Maybe you spend half the year not around this church because you're down south somewhere. Maybe you have a crazy family like I do and you're running in and running out and some of these roles don't quite work out for you, but you want to feed into the work that God is doing here. We have a financial opportunity that we want to present to you guys, okay? Miss Erin talked about our gym space downstairs where families gather after every single Sunday to go down there and hang out and the kids play and the parents are chatting with each other. And then throughout the week, it's getting used to by our youth ministry uses it. And tons of we've got pickleball groups that come in here and outside groups and basketball teams. And all these people are down in the gym. And attached to the gym, we had this great space that doesn't look anything like this right now. Right now, it looks like a concrete box with pipes sticking out of the walls. Okay. We would love, more than anything, we would love as a rallying cry around this vision to work together as a church to finish this space off, okay, this fall. We would love to do it this fall. We think it's going to cost about $55,000 to put in half of the space, which is going to be a kitchen serving area for any size group to use and provide food and meals to people. And the other half of the space is going to be flexible furniture and seating for parents to sit in there and chat, for kids groups to be in there meeting, for pickleball people to sit and have coffee after they're done playing pickleball, whatever it might be. Okay, we have a little bit of money in the budget to get started, and we do have phases that we're ready to go through in this project to tackle what we can as money makes itself available. But I believe with all my heart that this church could provide the $55,000 we need to finish off that space, which is just going to fuel the building and sharing of community that we want to do. If you want to give towards that, you could simply write a check and just say Gym Kitchen on there and put it in one of the boxes. Or if you go give online, you'll have an option. You'll see it there. It's called Capital Improvements Gym Kitchen, and you could make a gift towards that. If you have any specific questions around that, I would be happy to answer those for you. On that note, I wanted to take a minute to celebrate the generosity of this church. We just finished our fiscal year at the end of June, and of the goal we had of $1.85 million raised towards our general operating fund, you guys all collectively contributed 1.839 of that, which is essentially meeting our goal. And then with all of that amazing giving and the managing of expenses that we did a net positive of $53,000 for the fiscal year, and that's a huge, huge celebration. So thank you very, very much for all of your contributions. Thank you. And then the last action step is this. I know you're just finishing out the summer. I know that you're getting ready for the craziness of fall. But if you're able to continue joining us back here for the next few weeks of this series, I think it's really going to help challenge and grow us as a church to be living out this vision that God has given us. Okay? I'd like to invite you all to stand, please, as we come to a close here. I want to remind you of a story in the book of Luke. Bye, Miss Erin. Where one day Jesus called together his 12 disciples and he gave them power and authority to cast out demons and heal diseases. Then he sent them out to tell everyone about the kingdom of God and heal the sick. He said, don't take anything for your journey. Don't take a walking stick, a traveling bag, food, money. Your other priorities are not as important anymore now. He's saying, wherever you go, stay there and support them and begin preaching the good news and healing the sick. The way Jesus has accomplished his ministry, his kingdom work throughout the years, is through teams of people going out and fulfilling their calling. And we look out at all of you. I look out at all of you, and I see all sorts of little teams of people that are going to rally together to make his kingdom impact in the world in the next year. And that is the way it is supposed to be, okay? Now, if there's anything we can do to help you understand that, please, please make the connection with us. If you're in a place right now and you're just like, you can't even think about serving because you just need God present in your circumstance, we would love to pray for you like we do every Sunday, have a team available in that back corner, and we would love to have that opportunity to just pray for you, pray over you, and whatever's going on. And again, if you're a guest, please come say hi to one of us. We would love to meet you, okay? Now, I'm going to bless you. I pray, God, thank you for this time that we've had together today. Thank you for each individual story, each individual family that makes up this church that we call Westgate. And thank you, God, for the individual gifts that you've given each of us to fulfill your kingdom work, not sometime down the road, but here and now. God, we trust you to lead us as a body. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all so much. Have an awesome day.